broadcasting from Melbourne, Victoria. You're listening to the Investor Exchange. Tune in each week and listen to the guys from United Global Capital discuss the topics that matter the most to your finances. Each episode will help you separate the noise from what really matters, giving you timely and actionable information you can use. We'll cover areas related to financial markets, property, politics, personal finance, and the economy.
Good morning, listeners, and welcome to another episode of the Investor Exchange. I'm your host today, Louis Van Copenhagen, and joining me in the studio is Brett Dickinson.
G'day, Louis.
And special guest star this morning, woo-hoo! Nikki Smith. Hello, Nikki.
Good morning, Louis. Good morning,
hi,
Brett.
Nikki.
Good morning.
Good to have you.
Great to be here.
Welcome to our podcast, The Investor Exchange, where we talk about all things finance, money, and we're going to extend that with some of the themes that we've been talking about. Because I'm often talking about the balance between personal finance and life in general. And what I love talking about is what you can do on the income side of things to earn more money, but also what to do with your money in general to have a better life balance and have a better life happiness.
And well, what's the point of money if you can't use it appropriately?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, Nikki, what would be an introduction into what you do?
All right. So I work as a psychologist and a career coach, and I'm often helping people to navigate a small or big career change. Mm-hmm. Now, why do I do this? I grew up with parents who loved their jobs and grew up thinking that was completely normal. Mm-hmm. So I was on a mission to make that the norm for myself first.
Yeah, that's not normal. Yeah. No. Yeah.
And now I'm on a mission to make it normal for many, many other people. And I've got a background in mental health clinical psychology, and right. I actually got burnt out there, and I moved across to organizational psychology as a stopgap and ended up loving it. Right. And then moved across to redundancy outplacement coaching when I wanted to start a family and wanted to work less than 12-hour days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then it's interesting, I found that as a redundancy outplacement coach, the employer was paying me to help people find a positive fit role to being made redundant from a company. But my maximizer strength was frustrated.
And right, okay.
Yeah, I wanted to take people from okay to excellent, from sad to good.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I actually gave myself a year to run some mini experiments. Could I create a framework and a program that would help to uncover people's dream life, best fit role, one that matched their strengths, their interests and their lifestyle needs, and test it out on 4 people. I gave myself a whole year to test it out to see if it could work, because part of me didn't actually really want to become a business owner, but I did want to solve that problem.
Okay.
Okay, very interesting.
So the 4 people that you said were your test cases and 12, was it 4 people in that 12-month period? So you've tracked them for that whole period?
Yes.
Oh, very good. And what sort of intel did you gather through that period?
So Kate was one of my first clients who tested out the program, and Louis actually knows Kate.
I do know Kate.
Yes.
She is great.
Is she awesome?
She is awesome.
I would really say,
yeah. Yep, wonderful. We should have her on the podcast one time. She has...
Can only have so much awesome here, though.
Mate, fill the room with awesome. Do it. Nikki's up there, too, on the awesome scale, by the way. Oh, she's not going to say it. Awesome. She's more modest.
I'm just going to blush and smile. Okay. Yeah. Thanks, Louis.
Yep. Well, blushing and smiling, that might fit into what you said before, but I'm curious, for what is this maximizer strength? What do you mean by that?
Sure. So I help people to uncover their top 5 strengths.
Okay.
And let's set the scene first. So I use a clever tool that uncovers them. And the likelihood of someone having your top 5 strengths in the order that you have them in is 1 in 33 million.
Wow.
Okay.
So you may not think a single strength is unique, but certainly in combination, they are unique and powerful. And it really helps people to get clarity on what should they be doing with their work life, what unique value do they offer an organization, and it's a great confidence booster, because typically when people are looking to make a change, something's not quite right. And that can chip away at your confidence.
Okay.
So my maximizer strength.
That's not a skill.
So, well, it's more a strength than a trait. It's more how you do something. So yep. there might be some skill elements in it.
Okay.
So, for example, should we just talk about one strength?
Yeah, for it.
So the maximizer strength is, for me, it's taking people and projects from okay to superb. So I get really fueled and energized when that happens, but I'm also good at making it happen. Mm-hmm. So I've also got the individualization strength. So I can see the unique qualities in people and bring them out. So if you think about those two together, they're very powerful. And so that's why I started the business. And that's also why as an interim job from when I had small kids, I actually started a counselling practice. It was the most flexible, well-paid job I could think of.
Right.
And that looked great on paper. And my husband loved it, well-paid, flexible hours. And when I talked about wanting to start this other project and experiments in business, he didn't think that was necessarily the best idea at the time with tiny children. But what gave me the confidence to do the mini experiments was knowing my strengths. And my strengths weren't utilized enough in the counseling practice, but they would be in this coaching project or idea.
Okay, okay. Wait, mini experiment. Yeah. What do you mean by a mini experiment?
Okay, mini experiments are incredible. So I typically encourage clients to, what we do first up is we uncover ideas. Some they will have thought of, some they won't have thought of, because I get people to think about things they don't even know whether they can do yet. Now, mini experiments are essential to explore those ideas that they don't even know if they can do yet. So mini experiments, there are three levels. There's a framework, Louis, you'll love it.
Mm-hmm. You know me well.
There's a structure and framework. The top tier is, I call them micro experiments. They're 10 minutes to 1 hour. They need to be as joyful and easeful as possible because we want to create momentum and confidence.
So it's really just trying something new.
It is absolutely trying something new, making it into tiny bite-sized pieces and acting like a scientist, being curious about how do you feel or think before, during and after, not classifying experiments as pass or fail, but more collecting data and evidence as to what do you want to do more of and what do you want to do less of.
So when you say, it's used the word want there, so it's not necessarily identifying what you're good at, it's identifying what you enjoy, or a bit of both.
Ideally you have both.
Yeah.
Yeah. So ideally there's a blend of what do you want to do and what are you naturally good at?
Mm.
And the third area is potentially what problem do you want to solve?
Yeah.
Because that's what takes the good and interested into actually it's something that's potentially marketable or it's something that you'll get employed to do.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, okay. Agreed. Yeah, if you're not solving a problem for people, it's hard to find an income stream to match. Yeah.
So why is it important for someone to know their strengths and play to their strengths?
I think if you don't know your strengths, you are working with one arm tied behind your back. That's how important I think they are. Mm. Studies show when you play to your strengths for 60 to 80% of the week, you significantly boost your productivity, your resilience, your positive influence, and your creativity. If you think about that, your happiness is bound to shine. And also studies show when teams, roles are shaped to people's strengths, a business bottom line also improves. So right. it's not an indulgent thing. It's really a strategic decision to make. Mm-hmm. And knowing your strengths is like peeling an onion.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I understand that.
It's like peeling an onion.
It's early. Yeah. It's all right. Yeah. We're still a bit tongue-tied. Yeah. That's okay.
And so it's something to master over a period of time. But clients are amazed at even that initial session around their strengths because it gives them permission to be themselves. Sometimes, and typically we undervalue the strengths that we have because they come so naturally to us. So, and then clients are really surprised at, actually this is valuable. Something I do naturally, instinctively could actually be valuable to someone.
I often think that, like, I look at someone else's work and I think, well, this is easy. Like, why can't you just do it?
Yeah.
But for me it's easy, but for them it might not be. Yeah.
Exactly.
Look, you're really ringing true in my ears because I'm always saying, well, if you can be more productive, if you can get the same amount of work done in less time, well, then you're creating time freedom. and then time freedom leads to all sorts of other measures that you can do. When it comes back to personal finance, well, then you can do a lot of things to improve your finances if you have time.
Mm.
And,
exactly.
And you're solving that equation of time and money.
Very true.
Yep, yep, for sure. Now, Nikki, I'm playing a little dumb because I have used your service and I do know all the things that you're talking about. But I'm a good interviewer, right?
Yeah,
so,
you are.
So I'm leading the conversation. But I've done your strengths profile and it is hugely helpful to know, actually, that my number one strength is in the strategic thinking category. So I'm very focused on strategy.
Yes.
And it's the learner skill. The learner strength. So I have a great desire to learn and I want to continuously improve. And learning, the process of learning, excites me. And it's not just the outcome of learning, but the process of learning. And I just thought that was normal.
Not at all.
No.
No. So if you think about those and those in combination,
yep,
you're someone that we can rely on for great strategy. But because you love learning, you're always going to be learning. You will fit in that learning into your week because you can't help yourself, which means you're up to date.
You can't help yourself.
There you go. I can't help it. I just have to do it.
And you feel like you use that strategic thinking a lot?
I do, Brett. Yes. Yeah. Well, we just had a manager's meeting yesterday and strategic thinking is going into that. And I'm always thinking strategy.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Yep. Well, it's whether a core it's, part of your role.
Correct. Yeah, yeah. Whether it's on the management side and the business planning side or whether it's on the client side. I mean, I'm a financial planner. So, of course, I'm thinking strategically about people's situations and trying to plan where they are right now to where they're trying to get to in future and bridging that gap with financial strategy. So it all makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, not everyone has that strength, you know, and I think you might be so used to it that, yeah, you think surely at least half the population have it, but they simply don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. So for someone who is in their job right now and they're reasonably happy, but they don't mind where they are right now, but they're listening to this podcast and they're thinking, well, Louis keeps telling me these things and Louis's great, so I'm going to do what he says. I'm really hammering that home today, yeah, aren't I? Anyway.
Just another week.
Thanks, Brett.
Sure.
So for the person who but wants to advance their career or earn the same money in less time or try and get a promotion to something, increase their productivity, what do you say to someone in that situation who's just looking to improve?
So it makes me think of Kate, actually. So her job looked perfect on paper, but after a break from work with mat leave and dealing with an illness, she actually was filled with dread at the thought of going back to that. And I think I talk to a lot of people who talk about, my job looks perfect on paper, you know, I should be happy, but actually I'm craving either more meaning or freedom like you're talking about. So it might be more time freedom.
Yep.
So for Kate, the thought of going back full time was awful, basically. So she said, how can I earn similar money part time?
Right.
And she looked at me and, you know, laughed her head off, saying, I'm dreaming, right? And I said, no, it's absolutely possible. Let's go figure it out. So the first port of call is to look at your strengths. If you want to do this yourself, look at your strengths and see if you can see some ideas in there. Naturally, I'm here to help you if and when you need it. But let me tell you a bit about Kate's journey and that might be able to support you.
Yeah.
That's great.
So Kate literally had no idea what else she would do. She knew she had strengths, wasn't super clear on what they were. So we uncovered a bunch of ideas, looked at her why, looked at her strengths, and we started conducting mini experiments to test out ideas. Now for her, it was absolutely about helping people in some way. And what she didn't realize was how powerful her strengths combination was of process and people strengths. It's rare. Right? She's fantastic, genuinely interested in people, great at listening, building relationship, communicating, but also she naturally sees things in processes. So you might be talking to her about a child's activity or something. She'll see it in a logical sequential map in her brain. Mm. So her strength spiel was, after a bunch of mini experiments, so she tried a bunch of different things like, she said, oh, what if I help people to be more productive? Like I'll help a, you know, a single mum to be more productive, or I'll help an HR manager I know to be more productive. And it was okay, but didn't really light her up. She liked the look of what I did, so I gave her a mini experiment with that to talk to a potential client that I couldn't actually see because of a conflict of interest, you know, close to another client. And she came out of the gut going, I hated that, like, so
oh, wow.
much.
Right.
And quite vehemently she described how much she hated it. But I said, great, we've got the, after initially being offended for 30 seconds, I said, we've got more data, haven't we? There's lots of evidence to say don't go near that again.
Right. Yeah.
And next up, she said, what if I helped a small business to be productive? Now, by the way, at this point, she didn't want to be a business owner. She was just testing ideas out and then hoping to get a job doing it. Mm. There was a, you know, dad at the cricket match, and she talked to him and she said, I think I can help you. She went in and spent 2 hours with them with a, you can imagine there was a whiteboard.
Yes.
She packed everything out of their brain, bento box organized it, put it into projects and said, I can help you to implement it if you want. She walked out of there, rang me on the phone and said, I felt like I was at a party. That was so fun.
Yeah. A whiteboard party.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
So we started looking. So I'm like, well, excellent. Yeah. This is a strong idea. If you feel like you're at a party, if you feel like you're in flow, we're onto something. Mm. And so she was dancing down the street. Literally.
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing.
And so we looked, you know, so we got her to have coffee catch-ups with larger organisations. Is this something they would have in-house? But she also did more mini experiments with more small business owners, because you can imagine this business owner too had a party.
Yeah.
Right.
They were so relieved. A different perhaps feeling. They were so relieved afterwards. They felt so supported. A huge amount of their mental load had been lifted. So they started telling people. So mini experiments came onto mini experiments.
Mm.
So for 4 years later, she earned double the amount of income with half to two-thirds of the hours, and she never would have thought she would start her own business.
Wow.
So that's great the power outcome. Of mini experiments. Yeah. Yeah, great outcome for Kate.
Yeah, absolutely.
Amazing, amazing.
I love the question she asked at the very beginning. Can I earn more money working part-time?
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, that's a good premise to start the conversation.
Yeah, that's right.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. How many people out there want to do that? A lot, I would imagine.
I think everyone who's listening to us.
I think so, right? Right? Yeah. Okay. That's a pretty good promise, Nikki.
Well, it's worth exploring. We have this one precious life, and there are different ways to do it.
So. Yep.
You know, that's one option, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yep. You know, I've got peers and clients earning money from teaching something online, you know, on selling a product, you know. But the thing is, often we apply this filter really quickly.
Yeah.
You know, for example, if we apply the question or the filter, can I earn, you know, the same or double the amount of money in part-time hours, and can I create that in 3 months? Well, probably not.
Yeah.
Right.
But for if you give yourself 1 to 2 years to create it.
Yep.
Then it suddenly becomes more possible.
Yeah, yeah,
very well said.
Yep. And look, the worst that can happen is you try some new things and you figure out what you do and don't like.
Mm-hmm.
And the best that can happen is you reinvent your entire life with more fulfillment, more enjoyment, more energy, and happiness, and more money.
Yeah. Exactly. And that that fulfillment piece is usually as important or more important for people, isn't it?
Yep.
And if you're more fulfilled, then you're less likely to be doing some of that random spending.
Yes.
Aren't you?
Yep, it is. Yeah, yeah. And I often look at money as an outcome of life in general. People who are good at life are good at money. People who are, it's not the other way around. If you're good or bad at money, it's generally in other areas of life as well. But if you can master one thing, then you tend to master all the things. Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely. Well, that's an amazing story. What about for someone who is really stuck in their job and they don't like what they're doing?
There have to be lots of people in this position.
Look, there really are. I've been speaking to... So it was stuck. Can you repeat the question?
What about someone who is really stuck in their job and they just can't see a way out? Mm. So they think they've progressed as far as they can. They just don't see any solution or any way out because maybe their job has them pigeonholed, or maybe their personal life has them in a situation where they... can't make a change.
And they're obviously not getting the fulfillment they want.
That's
from
right. Yeah. Yep. Mm.
Fantastic. So let me tell you about Fred, and Fred is his real name.
Hi, Fred.
Hey, Fred.
Hey, Fred. So Fred is an engineer, and when I met him, he was a senior engineer in a sugar manufacturing company, mm-hmm. and he had been the golden boy, actually. He'd done continuous improvement project after continuous improvement project.
Right.
He'd had such an amazing time there, but he'd hit the ceiling.
Okay.
So, and he was asked to do more and more. Yet the continuous improvement element was shrinking.
Okay.
So he'd hit his limit. And what he'd done, he's got strategic thinking as well. He was looking at job search websites. He was actually seeing jobs he liked the look of, but nowhere near matched the criteria. So he couldn't see how he could transition, even if he came up with a good idea.
Right.
The other interesting thing was he was getting headhunted to other manufacturing plants, and that didn't excite him.
Oh, okay.
So he didn't have, so he came to me saying, look, I'm confident that I've got strengths, but I don't really have a clear idea what else I would do. And absolutely, I need to maintain this kind of income as well.
Mm.
So my fear is that I make a change, but I have to go to a more junior point. And then, you know, how I've got a beautiful wife and three kids to support.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Mm, okay.
Predicament.
Okay. Oh, well, there you go.
So, should I share what?
Yeah,
we did,
yeah,
Fred?
Please do.
Yeah, you've got us this far.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, I've got a 7-step career framework that I take everyone through. And with the results from that, I think with Fred, we came up with 14 dream ideas on what he could do. So, he's definitely a multi-passionate.
Right. Okay.
Really into fitness, innovation, science. You know, being an athlete, all sorts of things. And the real theme that came from that in terms of his why was he wanted to solve a meaningful problem, but he wasn't sure what it was. In terms of his strengths, the spiel that we came up with him was, my strengths are solving complex problems with creative solutions, and I want to solve a meaningful problem. And then we added an achievement in there, which was, I saved the sugar manufacturing plant, I think it was $1.2 million, when they thought the project would actually cost them $700,000. And that was through 3 iterations of testing ideas out and liaising with 7 departments.
Wow.
So pretty powerful.
That's amazing.
Now, Fred is quite a reserved guy.
Okay.
But he grew with confidence to share that spiel. But what I find is clients feel really okay about talking about their strengths because it's how they've been born. They don't really feel like they're boasting.
Mm.
So what I did was to set Fred up on coffee catch-ups. I said, you need to find out what meaningful problems there are out there. Have a look on my LinkedIn profile, pick out 2 people and I'll connect them to you. And the first person he connected to worked in international development, and it just lit him up.
Oh.
He's like, wow, this is amazing. Everything she said about her job excited me. And so then we proceeded with more mini experiments. So he talked to a few more people in the industry, that he went on a weekend immersion course for international aid because that's one of the career pathways, and then realized dangerous overseas war-torn nations are perhaps not the right fit when he's got young children.
Right. Okay. Yep. Might be exciting.
Yeah.
Might also be life-threatening.
Yeah. Exactly. So very exciting, but perhaps not the agent stage that we're in. So then he started looking at, Australian opportunities, what Australian opportunities were there. He had enough evidence and confidence to enroll in a master's. And his current job acted as his bridge job. So a bridge job ties you over from the here and now to a dream role, gives you that financial security. Mm-hmm. And then his perspective changed on his current role. He said, okay, well, there'll be a due date. There'll be a time that I leave. And that gave him some more energy and purpose that actually his current role was serving him well.
Mm.
And then so what happened is through 8 coffee catch-ups, people were fascinated with his business acumen and his brain. You know, clearly an amazing problem solver.
Yep.
On his 7th and 8th coffee catch-up, he was offered a role on each of those.
Okay.
And he took the one to be a program manager for Career Trackers, which supports Indigenous graduates into paid internships.
Wow. Oh. Talk about fulfilling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in terms of that was a cut in salary, around the similar time he was asked to manage a construction business for 10 hours a week that some colleagues from his factory were starting up.
Oh.
And so he could say yes to the not-for-profit job because he also had a side business income as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And so, Fred, very happy.
Yeah, great.
That's a wonderful story.
Yeah.
What an amazing turnaround. I've almost got a tear in my eye. Good on you, Fred.
Good on you, Fred.
I'm proud of you, mate.
Nikki,
don't even know you.
You've used a word a couple of times, and I see it on your website too, where you say more meaning. How do people identify what is meaningful to them?
That's a really great question. So there's lots of banter, isn't there, online about purpose and passion and meaning and how do you figure it out? So one of the core ways I help people to figure out is to uncover their why. So their why is a combination of inner drivers and beliefs, and together that can really form what you find purposeful and meaningful. And there can be elements in your work life and elements in your personal life. And Simon Sinek has really brought this to public knowledge. And
he has.
Yeah. So there's a great TED Talk and book out there if you want to explore that further.
Absolutely.
Well, you better say what it is.
Yeah, if you Google Simon Sinek TED Talk or look up Simon Sinek's book called Start With Why, great read.
Exactly. And that's one of the modules I take people through in the program as well, because there are a series of questions you need to go through. Mm. It's quite a deep topic, really, but a really important one.
Yep.
Very much so.
Yep.
And also explore, even if you're reasonably happy in your job, if you explore your why, you can sometimes even improve your happiness and connection in your job when you understand your why, because you either might be able to be more grateful that it does match your why, or you might identify some elements that you think, oh, can I incorporate that into my job? Can I, you know, for example, one of my clients, part of his why is to empower and develop people. So he had a very busy role, but we added just 1 hour of mentoring into his role, which was his bridge job, to a high performer, not just a low, because he was doing some for low performers. Mm. And that gave him so much satisfaction, just changing that 1 hour in his week in his bridge job.
Mm. Yeah, nice.
Yep. Yeah, okay. And I'm a big fan of people managing up. If you're in a job, being able to manage your manager to give you the right kind of jobs. And if you understand your strengths, well, then you're in a really good position to say to your manager, hey, here's something that I'm really good at. Give me more of this and I'll get more done and I'll have fun doing it because I'm playing to my strengths.
Exactly. Yeah, yep. I've got a good example of that. A client had returned from working overseas in China and she had started her bridge job. And she said, oh, Nikki, it's a little bit basic, but it's you know, meeting the criteria.
Yep.
Tying me over from the here and now to my dream role. I've got some cash coming in, some security. But I said, we'll start talking about your strengths. So what she found in the meetings was when something came up and it was around online learning that she's really passionate about, she would just share some insights. And she did that regularly for 6 months. And that was managing up. There were more senior managers in there. And really, she was sharing an insight and it was being received okay. And then a few months in, they started saying, can you help us with this? Can you help us with this? And they designed a role for her to take on that project.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's so good. And I bet she got a pay rise too.
She got a big pay rise and she loved the new title. She had this kind of outrageous, I think it's global learning, online learning, you know, director or something.
Oh, fantastic.
And, you know, and some of us have the significant strengths. Some of us really do crave recognition and status and that's okay.
Yeah.
And so she loved a bit of that as well.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Well, look, I love everything that we're talking about. So, Nikki, how would someone get in touch with you and learn more about what you do and engage you?
So the best thing to do is to go to my website, which is www.nikkismithcoach.com, which is NIKKISMITHCOAH.com. And there you can connect with the podcast that I have. I interview clients and also other people that inspire me about their dream role. And we explore the mini experiments and their strengths to get from A to B. So you can connect with that. And I've interviewed Fred and Kate and lots of other people there. That's the first option.
Mm-hmm.
Another option is if you're frustrated and you're ready to chat, you can actually book in for a free 15-minute Discover Your Strategy session.
Nice.
And again, that's on the website under Discovery. And the third option is I run a monthly free webinar called Your Next Career Move. And we uncover a minimum of 3 brilliant ideas on what you can do next, just to really inspire you and fill you with some inspiration and ideas so that you don't feel as stuck or trapped.
Nice. Fantastic.
Yeah, really good.
Beautiful. So hop online, a couple of three free options to check out the next step. The podcast, Dream Life Best Fit Role, which you can find through Nikki's website or on any good podcasting app. If you just look up Dream Life, it'll come up, Dream Life Best Fit Role, or on Nikki's website, nikkismithcoach.com, and Nikki is N-I-K-K-I. Everything else is pretty normal, nikkismithcoach.com. Thanks, Nikki. That's amazing.
I'm on Nikki's website now, and it's all there, everything you've outlined for anyone to see. Let's just quickly touch on, because you've got a menu item there, the Camino 2020.
Sure. So, yes, feel free to join me next May 2020 to walk the Camino. We're doing...
What's the Camino, sorry?
Very good question. Mm. So the Camino is a walking track in northern Spain. It's considered it is a pilgrimage route from... hundreds and thousands, years ago.
Yes.
And so... I'm obsessed with Spain, and I got invited by an amazing woman called Glenys, who operates a award-winning tour company called Wandering the World. And she invited me to join a group, and you can come along and simply get a break from work and walk and enjoy northern Spain. Mm. Or if you want to, you can top up with some coaching and support to figure out what else can you fit into this one amazing work-life. And so you've got a couple of options there. And what I love about it is we have this one precious life. Now is the time to tackle our bucket list. And for me, the Camino is on it. So it was an easy yes for me.
Yeah.
And it's what I love too is it's 6 days of walking and it's 13 to 18 kilometres a day. So it's 3 to 6 hours of walking, manageable for, most people.
But through beautiful scenery too.
Gorgeous scenery.
Gorgeous countryside. Great little towns
and villages. And who doesn't like Spanish food, villages, and really stepping back in time. Yep.
I've got a few friends that have actually done the Camino, and what they've told me about it is just phenomenal. It sounds brilliant. So, it's on my list of things to do. So, that's why it piqued my interest when I saw it there.
Yeah.
And there is a pilgrimage side to it. There's a process that I believe if you do it according to the history where you pick something up at the start and at the end, there's sort of a journey that you take with you, and you get to the ocean at the end of it if you do the whole Camino, I believe.
Yes, you do. And I believe with this section, when we get to Santiago del Compostela, we are gifted with the kind of certificate around the pilgrimage, which is pretty generous because we're not doing the 800K version. We are doing a smaller section. But there is you could consider it a spiritual religious element to it, but you don't need to be spiritual religious to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Great.
Yep. And then you get to spend 6 days with Nikki as well.
Yeah.
That's it.
And bathe in her amazingness.
What more could you
want? Fantastic. Wonderful. Well, listeners, thanks for being with us. We'll take a quick break.
Want to learn the strategies that have achieved returns more than double the return of the average superannuation fund? Each day, clients of United Global Capital are using strategies and tactics that were once thought the domain of the professional investor or the super rich. Book your seat at UGC's Financial Fast Track Seminars, where you'll learn the science behind selecting high-performance stocks and real estate, how you can participate in advanced strategies like property development, short selling, and international investments, as well as how to protect your wealth against major adverse market events. To secure your seat, simply go to ugc.net.au/events and select the seminar that suits your needs. Seats are limited, so book your spot now.
And welcome back, listeners. Thanks for being with us. And let's kick over to Brett now for something in the actual markets. What's going on?
Sure, mate. So, well, I thought I'd change tact a little bit. My last couple of weeks have been on the negative side of things happening within the property industry.
You've been a real downer.
Well, not on purpose. It was just more bringing to light some of the information about the poor quality of dwellings that have been built, mainly in the apartment space.
Yeah, absolutely.
So obviously, there can't be negatives without positives, and there's always going to be positives if you know where to look. And one of the positives I saw this week was UBS have now made a forecast or adjusted their forecast for the next year on what they believe Australian house prices are going to do.
Okay.
So they're now forecasting a rise of around 10%.
Really?
Which is different. Yeah, so they were originally only sort of seeing 2 to 3%, but they've changed tact after seeing the volume of lending that has increased in the last month.
Yep.
So their data is now saying that they expect the median house price to increase around 10% over the next 12 months.
Wow. Yeah.
Mm.
That's a big turnaround.
It is a big turnaround.
Because the feeling I've been getting is from a lot of people is still in the doom and gloom about the potential for property to fall. On this podcast, we've been talking about a period of consolidation right now. So,
and Louis, I'm sensing because of course I'm also dealing with other property professionals around the place. So selling agents, valuers,
yep.
conveyancers, developers, and the majority of the intel I'm hearing, it's almost like, you know, the word on the street happens before the rest of the people find out.
Right.
And I guess you could say the word on the street is that the market has not just stabilized, but has already started to improve.
Right. Right.
You know, a lot of the transactions and the buying signs, they're all there back to where they were prior to the last decline.
Yep.
So if anyone was wondering about whether the market was going to continue to decline or whether it was going to rise, well, everything's saying it's going to rise. And that's even further supported. I just had a quick look earlier on the clearance rates for Melbourne and Sydney. Biggest challenge with clearance rates is Melbourne's really the only city that has a significant amount of auctions. Sydney has a few, but far less than what Melbourne does. But it's a good indicator of what the market sentiment is. And clearance rates for Melbourne last weekend was 76%.
Wow.
Okay, well, that's strong.
Especially when we consider a balanced market is considered in the low 60s.
Okay.
So above that shows that it's a hot market.
Yep.
So 76% in Melbourne and 82% in Sydney.
Right.
Wow.
So looking at just those little snapshots of data, it shows that property is starting to go through a good phase again. Now, I've also got another article that I might revisit next week that talks a little bit about how we're not necessarily in a downturn or an upturn. We're sort of just recovering from a boom time that was just outside the norm.
It really was a boom time,
it
wasn't
was.
It? Yeah, for the Melbourne and Sydney markets.
Yeah.
Yeah, not so the other markets, not so Brisbane, Perth, and other markets.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a big up.
Mm.
We've had a correction.
Yeah.
But it sounds like we're...
And it looks like we're starting to resume what's been our historical norms in terms of types of activity.
Okay. You heard it here first on the Investor Exchange. Thank you, Brett.
Yeah, pleasure.
And good on you listening to this kind of podcast. So congratulations, listeners.
Yes, good for you. Have you got any info for us this week, Louis? Any strategic thinking?
Yeah, I do have some strategic
That'd
thinking.
Be awesome.
And it's along the lines of what Nikki has been talking about. And a focus of mine is, what do you do with the money that flows on from that? And I want to come back to something which I've mentioned before, which is what to do when you get a pay rise.
Yes.
So for people that don't have a financial structure, what happens to their pay rise? Well, they get more money in their bank account and fairly quickly...
Holiday,
Their expenses...
Mountain bike.
Yeah.
Yep. Their expenses rise and that pay rise leads to an increase in their spending. And sure, they have nicer things and they might eat out more and they might have some more toys. And what I want to do is I want to make a suggestion for how you can use a pay rise, not for just a temporary increase in your life fulfillment, but how can you actually get a permanent increase in your life fulfillment?
Permanent.
Ooh.
Permanent.
Ooh.
Okay.
That's a good word.
Yeah.
So I've said before a few things that you could or should do with a pay rise. So if you already have your savings habit in place, then put some of that pay rise towards your saving habit, and that's great for your long-term wealth. But today I want to focus on putting some of that money towards time saving or productivity.
Yes.
And
I like that a lot.
The best example for me is hiring a house cleaner.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because a house cleaner will take away hours of work from your week.
That no one wants to do.
That you don't want to do and is at relatively low cost.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And that free, if you can free up, even if it's 1 hour a week that it frees up.
But Louis, I'd love to make a point here.
Go for it.
Yeah, both male and female listeners. It's not just the hour or two that it frees up a week. It frees up your mental load. For me, I think I get 10 hours of guilt-free living back each week because when I look at a room or an item, I categorize cleaner or me. And it frees up a lot of mental load. So it's not just the physical hours, it's more. It's a no-brainer, really. Yeah. Once you've got the money for it, use it.
Yep. Awesome. You just blew my mind.
Yeah.
Mental load. Another reason to do that. Excellent. So absolutely, I think if you get a pay rise, then you should be using that money for your productivity. I think of it as fulfillment because every time I used to scrub a toilet, I'd be wondering, surely this is not something that I'm actually all that good at and someone else can do it. That's not me.
Sure. And also, not just the not good at, if you find it draining, then that means it's a weakness. Like, you might be excellent at cleaning toilets because most of us have had practice.
Yeah.
But if it drains your energy, then can you outsource it?
Yeah.
It's not a real difficult task. So I'm sure, I'm sure you'd be pretty good at it, Luke.
That's right. That's right. But, you know, I have heard people say, but no one's going to clean it as well as me. Especially when it comes to vacuuming. For some reason, some people are very particular about vacuuming.
Then get all the other tasks outsourced and you do the vacuuming. Or find an amazing cleaner who cares as much about your house as you do. They do exist. And it might be a local mum, you know, in, you know, that you meet at the cricket ground.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that loves cleaning. There are people who do love cleaning.
There are
a client outsourced cooking. She got a chef to come in for 3 hours a week, cost $35 an hour. That's all. Poor chefs are underpaid.
Right.
Right?
Wow.
$35 an hour. She would come in. My client would have done the grocery shopping. She would pair four incredible dinners and a few other things in those 3 hours because they're so darn quick.
Yeah.
Imagine how much time you save with that.
Oh,
and how rock star would you feel with your private chef?
And the quality of the food you're eating too.
Also, when your kids complain about your food, you didn't cook it.
Yeah. It's just benefits everywhere.
Yeah.
I like it.
Nikki's blown my mind
today.
Outsourcing. Yeah. We should have Nikki all the time.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a lot more we could delve into here.
Yeah, that's
right. I'd love to come back.
Fantastic.
Great. Okay.
Beautiful. Or I'll just jump onto Nikki's podcast.
Just come onto mine.
Yeah. Yeah. Dream life, best fit role. Mm-hmm. Amazing tips from Nikki Smith. All right. So that is my topic for the day.
Nice.
All right. We'll take another quick break.
Are you concerned about your finances? Maybe you're not sure if you'll have enough money to retire on. Or maybe you've received a redundancy, inheritance, or even a significant promotion, or perhaps a life-changing medical diagnosis. Regardless of your concern or financial position, United Global Capital's advisors are experts in the areas of strategic financial planning, taxation, superannuation and self-managed superannuation funds, risk management, estate planning, and investments. Don't let fate dictate your financial future. Take control today and contact United Global Capital for a no-cost, no-obligation financial strategy consultation. Simply call 03 8657 7640 or email info@ugc.net.au and book your appointment today.
And welcome back. What is next?
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious.
Woo! Our favourite part every week. Lovely.
Yeah, what's Brett, been going on?
Brett, you've always got the best ones.
Well, I'll take that, Louis.
You are awesome at this, Brett.
Yeah, great. Appreciate it, Nikki. Hey, keep it coming. All right, well, no pressure. But I did find something I thought amusing. British Transport Police are asking the public to label their goods when travelling to avoid confusion in the future. That itself doesn't sound overly interesting, but the reason why, they found 25 bags of powder, which they thought looked highly suspicious, like a haul of drugs, and it turns out to be only, da-da-da-da, ingredients for a cake. So maybe a lesson for Willy Rioli in there somewhere.
Oh, Brett.
Too soon?
Oh, it's too soon. Oh, the news is so fresh. I can't believe it. That's a lot of cake. 25 bags.
Yeah, yep. Well, it was the transport police identified it. They saw, you know, white powder in bags, so they then called the police in.
Yep.
Surely there's a simpler way to test. And
that's right.
And having to bring police in just because it looks suspicious.
Yeah, yeah. It could just be solved. You just dunk your finger in it and put it in your mouth. Mm. Is that so hard?
Yeah.
It's not hard.
No. Yeah. And even if it is another substance, there's still a benefit in some way.
Oh, great.
A minuscule amount isn't going to do much damage, is it?
No, that's right. Yeah, and then the police know what it is and 25 bags becomes 24 bags.
A mini experiment.
Or 22 bags. And then the police... All right, we took that too far. Nikki, what do you have as our special guest?
So when I researched to come on today's show, I Googled UGC podcast and the first entry was... the first and only podcast entirely devoted to the Foundry and Star Trek Online.
Oh. What?
That's not us.
I was so confused.
Yeah.
Louis, is there something I don't know about you?
You're a Trekkie.
Well, I am wearing my molded spiky ears this morning for my Vulcan look. Mm. I've got the texture out for the monobrow.
Yeah.
Geez,
it's a good look, Louis.
UGC is a Star Trek podcast. Okay,
yes. Yeah,
that's amazing.
Mm.
So does that? So what does their UGC stand for? Does it say?
It doesn't.
No.
I didn't stay on long enough to investigate.
Fair enough too.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So you're not into Star Trek. You went Star Trek.
Well, I'm into Star Wars. It's funny. I've been watching The Big Bang Theory, so I'm getting across a bit of Star Trek.
Oh yeah. Of
but
course.
I haven't got a long history with it. No.
No. Okay. Yeah.
Surprising.
That is surprising.
Oh, maybe you need to listen to the UGC podcast.
Maybe I do.
Oh, very good.
With all my spare time with my cleaner, I could.
There you go. Feet up on the couch, headphones in, while someone's vacuuming around you.
Beautiful.
Awesome. So I've made a hint of what you can do with your money today. Here's something not to do with money, especially money that shows up without explanation. A couple in Pennsylvania in the USA had $120,000 mysteriously appear into their bank account. So they went and spent it.
As you do.
They went on a spending spree, spent most of the money on... Oh, they bought a car.
Yeah.
They bought a trailer and
did
a camper.
Did they hire a cleaner? Or a chef?
They should have.
Yeah. Or a butler.
Yeah. They did not. They went on a massive spending spree, and then the bank contacted them and said... we believe there's been a deposit error.
Not your
and
money.
We're going to reverse the transaction, so that money's going to come back.
Ooh.
And the couple said, you can't have that money back because it's gone.
Ouch.
So they're going to trial because it wasn't their money, therefore it's theft.
Oh.
People.
So if I came home and found a wad of cash just on my front lawn or somewhere and I went and spent it.
Yep. Brett, you need to have plausible deniability.
Yeah.
Maybe next week we'll get a lawyer on the show.
Yeah, okay.
Perfect.
Yeah. I guess the
talk
cash
us through plausible deniability.
Yeah. A direct transfer into your bank account, it's a bit easier to really track who got it.
That's right.
Yeah. Fair call.
Whereas if it's cash, what cash?
What
cash? On my lawn?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly. By the way, UGC always complies with its AML and CTF.
Ah, good point.
Requirements.
Yes. High integrity fully professional compliant. Services.
Correct. That's right. There's nothing to see here. Move along.
Yes.
Thanks again, listeners. It's been a fun episode. Amazing today.
Thanks,
I've really
Nikki.
Enjoyed it. Thanks,
oh,
Nikki.
You're very
really enjoyable.
Yes. You've made my life today.
Nikki,
it's been
SmithCoach.com.
Thank you. All right. Cheers, listeners. We'll catch you again next week.
Thanks.
See you next time.
Bye.
Broadcasting from Melbourne, Victoria, you're listening to The Investor Exchange. Tune in each week and listen to the guys from United Global Capital discuss the topics that matter the most to your finances. Each episode will help you separate the noise from what really matters, giving you timely and actionable information you can use. We'll cover areas related to financial markets, property, politics, personal finance, and the economy. Now, here's your host, Stephanie Sumner.